Okay, we'll start here at the bottom of Kut Aleph Amud Bet. We'll quickly review the last piece that we did yesterday because it flows into today, which is five lines up from the bottom. It says, "Boy, Rabbi Elazar, parim nisafim, usrim nisafim, shiatzaru b'o b'miut ever." The rove of the parim nisafim, usrim nisafim, have left the azara. The question now is that rove was brought about by the miut of one of the limbs. A minority of one of the limbs is what was goreim it, caused it to have the majority on the outside. Mahu, what's the din here? Hach mi'uto de ever barta ruba shadinale. That mi'ut of the ever, do we then force it to go with the rov ha'ever? The rov ha'ever is inside. So that means that the mi'ut should be dragged along and also be classified as being inside. V'hano nafkale. And the rov ha'ever didn't go out yet. So the mi'ut should be classified as it's still in. And then it won't be a rov anymore that's outside. Odilma bata ruba de behema shadinan, or to go based on the rova behema. So Gemara says that's pshita. The lo shevginan ruba de behema vazlinan bata ruba de iver or ivarim. That we don't go after the rova iver when it goes against the rova behema. Rova behema governs over here, and since the rova behema is on the outside, the fact that it's a mute of an iver makes no difference. What's the nafkamina of its inside or outside? Rashi claims that the issue here is that mit askim b'otzat ruban, those that are involved with it, the inyan tuma begadim michutz l'machaneh bay. We need them to leave the machaneh in order to become tamei. We're going to see that at the end of today's daf, that you have to leave at least one machaneh to have tumat begadim. So the question here is, have they left already? Has the behema left the azara or not left the azara to be mitamei begadim? That's what Rashi claims. Tosaf both claims, though, the issue here is about the Srefat, Parim Nisrafim, and Srim Nisrafim. We know that there are three places that they could be Nisraf. There's in the Mikdash itself, the Azara, on Har HaBayit, or out in the Beit HaDeshen. So between the Azara and Har HaBayit, we discussed yesterday in the two Braitot whether it had to do with which type of psul, when the psul happened before Zrika, after Zrika. In addition, Tosus adds here, another factor is where it is located when the psul happens. So if the psul happens and it's in the Azara, then maybe burnt in the Azara. If it's already bov b'chutz and there's a psul, then you would burn it on Har HaBayit. So the determination of rov here is where you're going to burn it. Are you going to burn it in the Azara? Are you going to burn it on Har HaBayit? So now the Gemara says, amends the question, and says, Ella, this is the question. Yetzach etzio b'rov eiver. It's 50-50. 50% inside, 50% outside. Except that the 50% on the outside incorporates within it rove of an aver, rove of a limb. So now, hi mi'uto de aver, what do we do with the mi'ut? Do we bat the rove aver shadidin lay? Do we say, well, the mi'ut should go after the rove? Rubo kukulo, so that's as if the kol aver is there, and that would make the rove now be on the outside. Va nafik lay, it's gone outside. Oh, dilma batar behema shadidin lay. We go after the behema. We go after the behema, it's 50-50. And it will remain inside, or not as if it's not outside now, and then the Gemara leaves that as a teku. Here, the Gemara does not say, oh, how could you leave rove behema to go after rove aver? That's because over here, there is no rove behema. We're doing the 50-50 case. So we're not leaving rove behema to go after rove aver. We have a question. Do we go after behema, period? Or do we go after rove aver? And that the Gemara leaves as a teku. So now, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, matli la begabre mit askim bo. Rabba Bar Huna amended the question, same question, but he talked about the numbers of individuals that were working with it. For instance, Chamisha b'nei Adam, there were five people carrying the Parim Nisafim or Sim Nisafim outside. V'nafku tlata upashluhu trei. Three of them already exited the Azara. Two of them remain in the Azara. So we said before in our Mishnah that they become Tamei as they leave. Those that are outside are Tamei. Those that are inside are Tamei. So here you have three outside that are Tamei, two inside that are Torahs. What's the status of the Parim and Sefim and Sefim and Sefim? But a rov mit askim azlinan?
So we don't go after the behema itself?
Oh, so that's the question here. Do we go after the rov mit askim azlinan? Upatar behema azlinan? That's exactly the question. Do we go after the people carrying it, and they determine since the rov on the outside, the behema is classified as being out now? Or do we go after the behema itself, which is what you were asking? The behema itself determines for the people, they're Tamei when they're out, the behema is Tamei when it goes out. The take.
These people went out and then they came back in and then they were...
No, they were continuing out in the process of going out. Three of them are on the outside, two of them are on the inside, and they stopped for a second. So now, what's the status? Tosa says that it'll determine where you burn it, depending on where you could... Is it outside the Azara or inside the Azara? Rashi will say that once the Behemah comes to me, it affects everyone to be Metamei Begadim. So now, is it classified as being outside already? And those people, even on the inside, will become Tamei, according to Rashi. Bayra Balazar, Parim, Usirim, Parim, Usirim, 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 Us chazru mahu. So this is a little bit about what your question was asking. The behemoth went out, and then it came back in. What's the status? Is it mitamei, anybody who gets involved with it now, the tamei bigadim, or does it lose its status? Only when it's outside the Azara does it have that status. Back in the Azara, it doesn't have that status. Mi amrinan came into nafke luhu itmiluhu. That since it went out, it's mitamei, and that's it, we're done. O dilma, came into hadur, hadur. But on the other hand, is it, once it came back in, it's in. So if it's in, then it doesn't classify to be mitamei bigadim. So Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Mama Tashma. Hayusovlim oto bimotot. This is our Mishnah. They were carrying it with the poles, with the staves. They were carrying it out. Harishonim yatzul chutzlot mrat azara. The first group of individuals that leaves the azara. Vachornim lo yatzu. And they did, the latter people in the back have not yet exited the azara. So there, Harishonim shiatzu chutzlot azara mitamim begadim. Those that have left the Azara already are classified as being carrying outside the Azara, and they're mitamei begadim. V'achronim, ein mitamei begadim asher yitzu. But the achronim do not take on tumah until they leave. V'isal kadatcha, kevin denafkiluhu itmu. If you suggest over here that once it's left, it becomes tamei, hanach te'ik gabai litamei. Then those that are still left on the inside should automatically become tamei. Because the Yitziyah for Tumat Bigadim is talking about the par itself, that is leaving the Machaneh. So once the par is chutz the Machaneh, then anybody who's in contact with it should become Tameh. Why should it matter that those two individuals are still in the Azara? The fact that they're in the Azara should have no bearing. It's when the par is left. So now you have the Rova par is outside. The par is now outside the Azara. Those that are left in the Azara should automatically become Tameh. But the fact that they do not become Tameh, then it shows us that bringing it back into the Azara would solve the problem, would take away the Tumat, and that's why they are Tahor. Just like if you brought it back, it didn't be Tahor. Certainly if these people who didn't leave yet are still Tahor. So that's what the Gemara wants to prove from our Mishnah. So Amar Ravina, Vitisbura. Is that really true? Habi'ina, Bachar Yavo Ala Machaneh Veleka. Because there's a requirement for Kibbutz Bigadim. This is by the Tarat HaMitzora. The Tarat HaMitzora, it says, Ve'achar Yavo Ala Machaneh. That after he's Mechabes Bigadav, then he can return to the Machaneh. That means that for Tumat Kibbutz Bigadim, you need an ability to return to the Machaneh. It means you have to have left at least one Machaneh. If you're still in the Azara, then you can't be called returning to the Machaneh in order to do the Kibbutz Bigadim. So that means that the Tumat Bigadim is talui with you leaving the Azara. And that's why those that have yet to leave the Azara do not fall into the category of becoming Tamei Bigadim, because they can't say about them, Bachar Yavo Ala Machaneh. They're already in the Machaneh. He says that conclusion is the right conclusion because of this principle. Since you can't have the Tumat Kibbutz Bigadim, Kevin Lokarinam Bei, Bachar Vlo Yokarinam Bei, Yichabes Bigadav. Ravina is making a point, Betisbro, that this is the reason why they're not Tamei Tumat Bigadim, because they haven't left the Machaneh yet. So now, what's Rabbi Elazar's question? Rabbi Elazar's question is, when you bring it back in, or you take it out? Well, it's obvious now from what Ravina said that if you're inside the Azara, then there's no Tumat Bigadim. So what's his question? Of course, if you bring it back in and the people are inside, there's nothing to talk about. He says, no, Rabbi Elazar's question is like this. They were carrying it out on rods, but it's an interesting situation in which they took the behema out and then they came back into the Azara. Now you have individuals on the outside now who are going to take hold of the behema and they're going to take it out. But they're standing outside already. So they're outside, but the behemoth's on the inside. What's the status of those individuals on the outside now? Do we say since the behemoth was once outside, anybody who gets involved in it on the outside now is tamei, even though the behemoth's inside? Or do you say that bringing the behemoth back into the inside, does that change the whole status of behemoth to tahor again? And only until the behemoth leaves again, will those individuals on the outside become tamei? So that's the question here. These new individuals on the outside, who are now being mitasek with taking the behemoth out, what's their status? Do we have to wait for the behemoth to leave in order for them to become Tamei, or just they're coming into contact with the behemoth that was once outside, is that enough for them to become Tamei? And that was the question of Rabbi Elazar, and that question is different than the question we posed before, where Ravina said that, of course, if they're inside the Azara, there's nothing to talk about. Of course they are Tahor, there is no Kibbutz Bigadim inside of the Azara. Here the question is that they're on the outside, and that's why there's a question over here.
Why the one that gets it on the top, you said if there were five and three were out and two were still in, because it was taken. But according to Ravina, they didn't leave yet.
Right.
So
according to Rashi, it's much more difficult. Rashi says we're talking about Tumat Bigadim here. So then, right, the Tumat Bigadim, we know that if they're still on the inside, there's nothing to talk about. So according to Tosafot, it's a different question. It's a question of whether you're sorry if it's on the Yazara or on the Harabayit, then it makes a difference. It has nothing to do with the Tumat. That's why, according to Tosafot, it's a little easier to read that piece versus the Tumat Bigadim, because then they should have answered it. And Tosafot asks it over here. According to Rashi, the question before was dealing whether the Begadim become Tamei when they go out of the Azara. Meaning that when a portion of the people leave the Azara, or a portion of the Behemah leaves the Azara, those that are inside, do their Begadim become Tamei? Now, obviously, the Gemara over here seems to answer that question. In order to deal with that issue, Rashi, in Rabbar Bar Rav Huna's Matni Law, when the Gemara changes the question to Gavrei from the Behemah, Rashi says the question over there is about the Sreifa, similar to what Tosfos says, that it's not about the Tumat Begadim of the Gavra. But now the question becomes, Rim Nitma Par Sofor Bifnim, or Sofor Bechutz, in order to avoid the problem of our Gemara now being an answer for that, and then why is there a Teiku in the Gemara before? Here we clearly see that if the Gavra is on the inside, there is no Tum'ah. In addition, Rashi has a Chiddush over here, that the Gemara is actually asking in the Havamina, a situation where people left the Azara, they became Tme'im, and then they returned to the Azara, and all of a sudden their clothes are no longer Tame'. Everything goes away, their Tumat Aguf, the Tumat Begadim goes away, because they re-entered into the Azara. That's what it says, what do you mean? Since when are the walls of the Azara mikveh tahara? Just because you return in there doesn't mean that you should no longer be Tameh. Rather, Tosfos says the question of the Gemara in the original case, majority of the individuals on the outside, do you have a din of Sreifa on the outside? Do you have a din of Sreifa on the inside? It has nothing to do with Tumat Begadim whatsoever. Also here, when the Gemara first posed the question, when the people took the par out and then they brought it back in, those people that took it out are Tameh, the Begadim are Tameh, nothing changes. The question now, according to Abimele, was if people on the inside now interacted with the animal, do they become Tamei or do they not become Tamei because the par was already outside? Maybe when they interact with the animal on the inside, it's if they're working with an animal that's already outside of the Azara. To that, we answer up, can't have Tumat Begadim inside of the Azara. So then we amend the question to be Rabbi Loza's question, and here, Tosfos will be the same as Rashi. We're talking about people on the outside dealing with the par on the inside, but a par who had already left. And that's the question. Is it classified as if they're working outside the Azara and they're Tamei right away? Or do you have to wait for the par to come out in order for them to be Tamei? Because you need both. You need the Gavra on the outside, and you need the rove of the pirate to be on the outside in order for the tuma to affect them. And that we leave with the teku. Tarabanan. Parim upara v'seir mishtaleach. So we're talking about groups of chataota pnimiyot. Parim in plural refers to the par kohen mashiach and the pareda. Para is the paraduma. And the seir mishtaleach is from yom ha-kippurim. All these items. Ha-mishtaleach, the one who sends them out. Ha-sorfan, the one who burns them. Ha-motzian, and those that take them out. Mitamei begadim. Meaning that anybody is osek with these animals, they are mitamei begadim. Vehein atzman, and this is where the machlokas, this is where the issue is going to come up. They themselves ain mitamei begadim. If you come into contact, magal, with those behemot, those karbanot, they are not mitamei begadim. Aval mitamei mochlim mashkim divrei Rabbi Meir. They don't have tuma chamura. They're not classified as an avatuma to be mitamei an adam. Adam can only become tamei if something is an avatuma. Once it reaches the point of rishon atuma, it's not mitamei adam, it's not mitamei kelim. What is the status of these items? These parim and nisrafim, the paraduma, sir mishtaleach, not someone who's asuk in it, someone who's carrying or dealing with it. There, the Torah prescribes that they have tuma chamura, they're tamei, and to the tamei bigadim. Anything they're in contact with while they're in contact with the behema, they are mitamei, because they have that classification of a avatuma at that time. As soon as they separate, they become a rishon l'tuma. But what happens if they just simply come into contact with it? They're not asuk in it, they just touched it, or a kli came into contact with it. What's the story? So there, we say clearly there is no avatuma, so it can't be mitame adam, and it cannot be mitame kelim. What about foods that come into contact with it? Over here, Rabbi Meir claims that ochlim and mashkim that come into contact with it are nitma. They do become tame. So it means that it has tuma kala, not tuma chamura, when you come into contact with the item. That's position of Rabbi Meir. Chachamim amrim, para uparim, mitamim, ochlim and mashkim, siras veleach, enu mitame shuchai. It's just a simple distinction here. The para duma and the parim are all dead. They're now, quote unquote, could be ochel. They're dead. So therefore, if you come into contact with them, they're able to produce tuma kala. They're able to be mitamei, ochlim, and mashkim. The seir mishtaleach is still alive. When it's still alive, we don't have tuma on a bal chai. Bal chai is never tamei as long as it's alive, except for a human being. A human being can come tamei while he's still alive, but behemot are only mikabel tuma once they are dead. So over here, the seir achai mishtaleach is still chai, so therefore it's not, it has no tuma associated with it.
What does that mean?
Oh, so that's the machok. machlokas here, we have to understand that the Gemara is going to ask that. The machlokas here between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir is simply about the Seir Mishtaleach. What's the din when it's chai? So Mishtaleach enu metamei shul chai, v'achai enu metamei ochlim u'mashkim. Bishlam al Rabbi Meir. Here's Rabbi Meir's understanding why. Ketana debei Rabbi Shmuel. Dotana debei Rabbi Shmuel. Al kol zera zerua. Kol zera zerua is found in Parshat Shmini. It's speaking at the end of Parshat Shmini about hechsher the kabel tuma, that items that are growing, any type of grain or vegetation that's growing, it cannot be mikabel tuma until it is washed with a liquid, one of the seven mashkim component. Mazramim she'ein sufam li'tamei tuma chamura. The only time you require hechsher in order to be mikabel tuma is when the item in the end will not give off a tuma chamura. V'tzrichin hechsher. Therefore, they need hechsher. Af kol she'ein sufam li'tama tuma chamura. So too, in anything in the end that will not generate tuma chamura, tzrichim hechsher. Yatzta. What's excluded from this? Nevelat of tohor. Nevelat of tohor, which we've discussed earlier in the Masechta, we did that with regards to the Malika and the Shechita. Nevelat of tohor is unusual in that the way it conveys its tumah is when it's swallowed. When it's in Beit HaBliyah, not only is it metameh the Adam when he eats it, but it's metameh his bigadim. So that's tumah chamura. Tumah chamura is that it has the ability not only to be metameh the Adam, but also to cause the Adam to be able to metameh other items, including his bigadim, or anything he's in contact with when he swallows it. So a nevelat of tohor in the end will be goreim tuma chamura. So because of that, in tzricha hechsher, it does not require hechsher of tuma. That means for two issues. One is, in order to be mekabel tuma, it will not require hechsher. But beyond that, even before it's goreim tuma chamura, it already has tuma in and of itself. It does not have the tuma of the level of when you swallow it. When you swallow it already, that tuma is tuma chamura, meaning that it is goreim your begadim to come to me, anything that you're in contact with. But before that point in time, it still will have the ability to be mitamei other things, but just not Adam and Kelim. It'll have tumah kala until that point in time, because in the end it will generate tumah chamura.
What does it mean? What kind of tzachim
hechsher? It's the shivat hamashkim to come on it.
Even with this, referring to something that's not something that does not grow?
Right, so only something that will not, in the end, have tumah chamura associated with it automatically, then it doesn't require hechsher. So that's the determination whether you need hechsher or not is what's the end status of this item. The end status of this item is that it won't automatically be goreim tuma chamura. Then it will require hechsher in order to be mekabel tuma.
For instance,
grains, foods, kli. The hechsher applies to items that don't automatically give off tuma, produce tuma. Hechsher is for something that is, otherwise the status is neutral. So you need the hechsher in order to make it ra'ui to be mekabel tuma. Items that they in themselves will generate tuma and tuma chamura do not require a hechsher. Now they also will then beforehand be goreim tuma. And that's the case over here. So that's what we're trying to prove from here. If you look in the Avko, it's three lines down in Rashi, in the widest lines. Avko shein sofoli tamei. Kegon sharochlim. Aval hani para uparim bisair. Just like the nevela ta'of, which in the end they're going to be mitamei gadim, kugon mitaskimehem, in tzrichim hechsher tuma, they don't require hechsher the tuma, hilkach, mitamo michaim, therefore they're able to give off tuma even when they're still alive. Even though all other balei chayim do not convey tuma, nevertheless these items will convey tuma because they're not in the regular category of tuma. They're not in the regular category of things that require hechsher tuma because they're going to end up having tuma chamura. They end up having tuma chamura means that in the interim they also convey tuma kala, and they do not require hechsher tuma. So over here, Rabbi Meir is suggesting, just like by nevelat of, which is an exception to the rule, and being an exception to the rule, it does not require hechsher, and it will be mitamei before you swallow it. Not to the extent where when you swallow it, it's mitamei tamu chamura, and it's mitamei begadim and kelim. But before that point in time, it'll have a lighter tuma, because it will end up being tuma chamura, number one, and number two is it will not require hechsher. So the same is true here with the Seir Mishtaleach. The Seir Mishtaleach, even though normally balei chayim do not convey tuma, number two is they require hechsher tuma, because they're an ochel. Nevertheless, over here by the Seir Chai, it's like the Nevela Tov Tahor. In the end, it's going to be Metamei Tumah Chamura, therefore it does not require Hechsher, and it will convey Tumah even beforehand to be Metamei Ochlim U'Mashkim. That's how Rabbi Meir is going to learn. Rabbi Meir says, my Seir Chai looks exactly like my Nevela Tov Tahor, and that's how I'm going to use Rabbi Shmuel Shita to support me. The question is now, what about the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon are in bind here. Why? Because the Rabbanon say by the Parim and the Paraduma, that it does convey tumah to ochlim mashkim. Whereas when it comes to the Seir Achai, they say no. Well, what are they doing? Are they holding like Rabbi Shmuel, or they're not holding like Rabbi Shmuel? Well, they need to hold like Rabbi Shmuel, because otherwise, why would the Parah Duman, the Parim, convey tumah to ochlim mashkim? They have yet to become tameh, and they have yet to have any hechsher. The only reason it would work is because of the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. On the other hand, if they hold like Rabbi Shmuel, then why isn't the Seir Achai also conveying tumah? If you say they don't hold like Rabbi Shmuel, because that's why the Seir Achai is not conveying tumah, then the same should be true by the Parah Duman and the Parim Nisrafim. So that's what we're going to read in the Gemara now. El Rabbanon, eat luhu the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. If they hold the Tana Rabbi Shmuel, afilu seir mishtaleach, then even seir mishtaleach should be able to convey to makala now. Vi lately, if they don't hold the Tana Rabbi Shmuel, afilu parah parim. You know what? Then by parah parim, it shouldn't convey to mat ochlim mashkim. The Rabbanon agreed by parah duma and parim nisrafim that they do convey to ma. So they are holding the Tana Rabbi Shmuel. So the Gemara says, so ki at Rabdima Amrei b'marov they say in Eretz Yisrael tzuchim hechsher tuma mimakom acher. So if you look at Rashi, the Rashi is, again, it's about 2, 4, 6, 7, 8 lines up. 8 lines up in the widest lines from the bottom. It's the middle of that Rashi. It says, Aval, in general, when it comes to Tumah, you need a sheretz, or you need a nevela to touch it in order to make it Tameh. Aval, Misha sofeu lo Tameh Tumah Chamura, ain't serichli gabi Tumah. It doesn't have to touch, it can come into contact Tumah. Uma Tameh Tumah Tochlim Me'ilav, Kigom Paro Parim. Aval, Chazi lo Tumah Mihaba Alma Beinan. We still need an item that in other places in Tumah is Mekabel Tumah. Velo Balei Chaim, Dolashkan Beimot Balei Chaim Mitamim. So that's what they said. It has to be something that is Mekabel Tumah in other places. So yes, it automatically conveys a light form of Tumah when it will end up being Tumah Chamura. But that's only when the item at this point in time has a status of something that would be Mekabel Tumah. So by Parim and Parah Dumah, we're talking about carcasses now. We're talking about animals that are dead. Animals that are dead have tumah in other places. So therefore, over here, they will convey tumah kala, because they will in the end convey tumah chamura. But by the Seir Mishtalech, which is alive right now, yes, it will end up being or conveying tumah chamura. But as of right now, it's alive. If we look anywhere else in tumah, there is no such thing as a bal chayim that is tameh. Well, bal chayim can't be tameh, then this can't automatically convey tumah kala now, even though in the end it will be tumah chamura, because it has to be in a state of being or a status of something that would otherwise be kabel tumah in other situations, like the nevela ta'of. The nevela ta'of, at this point in time, if it was any other food, it could be mekabel tumah. So therefore, before you swallow it, it will convey tumah kala, because it has a class, it's in the category of items that could be mekabel tumah. So things that are alive can't be mekabel tumah mimakom acher. Forget about tumah chamura, they can't become tameh whatsoever. So therefore, they also cannot convey tumah in and of themselves. Whereas something that could be mekabel tumah somewhere else, there it can convey tumah kala by itself. Right, so that's the position of the chachamim. So now, by Rabbi Elazar, parim nisrafim esrim nisrafim mahu shitamu ochlim umashkim bifnim kibachutz. Can they convey tumah over here? Well, if they haven't got to the point where they're tamei tumah chamura, do they give off tumah kala? So the Gemara says, mechuser yitziyah ki mechuser maseh dami. The lack of leaving is as if it lacks maaseh still in the item. So he says, "Boter debayi hader pashto." After he asked the question, he answered it. Mechutzu yitziyah k'mechuser maaseh dami. The fact that it lacks the ability to go out, then it's k'mechuser maaseh dami. It's as if it's mechuser maaseh, which will now change what we said or modify what we said before. We said before that an item that will end up conveying tumah chamura automatically conveys tumah kala. But that's only if it's in the process of going towards tumah chamura. Well, when is it in the process of going towards tumah chamura? That's when it's leaving. When it's leaving the azara. While it's still in the azara, it's not in the process of reaching tumah chamura. It still is mechuser yitziyah. It still needs to leave the azara in order to get that tumah chamura. So since it needs the yitziyah, it also will not convey tumah kala at this point. Once it's left the azara, once it's taken out of the azara, then it's no longer mechuser amaseh. It's not lacking any action in it, any part of the process. Therefore, if they stopped, for instance, they took it out of the azara, they stopped the harbay, they put it down. If the food came into contact with it, then it would convey tumah kala, because now it's automatically going to give off tumah chamura. Anybody who comes to contact works with it, will right away get Tumah Chamura. So it's not missing any action to convey the Tumah Chamura. Whereas when it's still in the Azara, it will not convey Tumah Chamura. Someone picks it up in the Azara, nothing happens to them. They must leave the Azara with it in order for it to convey Tumah. So then since Mechusar Maaseh, there is no Tumah Kala, because there's no automatic Tumah Chamura. So only once it's left the Azara, there it conveys Tumah Chamura automatically when you're mitasek with it, therefore it's conveying Tumah Kala. That's the answer question, as well as the answer of Rabbi Elazar with this question. So now, by mine Rabbi Abba Mar Shmuel, or maybe Rabbi Abba Mar Mamel, may Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. Nevelat of Tahor, the Rabbi Meir. So now let's go to Nevelat of Tahor, the Rabbi Meir, meaning that the Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel that says when you swallow it, it conveys Tumah Chamura. At what point does it convey Tumah Kala? We said here that Mechusar Maaseh makes it that it's not conveying Tumah Kala. When does it reach the status where it automatically gives Tumah Chamura? Mao, when will it be automatic that it gives off Tumah Chamura so that it also conveys Tumah Kala at that point in time? When are we at the point where we know for sure it will give Tumah Chamura, therefore it gives off Tumah Kala? Right, Mechusar Maaseh makes a problem. That's what we just said by Rabbi Elazar. So where do you leave the point of Mechusar Maaseh? So the Gemara is going to lay it out for us. Mao, Shitameh b'Kazayit. What's the din that'll be Mitameh b'Kazayit? Meaning Kazayit will convey Tumah with the Kazayit. Kum Tumah Kala. Demachta la'ara, lo tibaylach. If it's sitting on the ground, this is your point, David, if it's sitting on the ground, nothing, there's nothing to talk about. Sitting on the ground, there's no reason to believe that it'll ever be mitamei Tumah Chamura, because someone has to swallow it. It's sitting on the ground, there's no reason to believe that. May never get there, that's what you said before. Denokit bipumei, if it's in his mouth, lo tibayilach, there we have no question that it's definitely going to get swallowed. Our assumption is that if it's in his mouth, it will be swallowed. So therefore, it of course conveys Tumah at that point in time. Tumah Kala, meaning if there's other food in his mouth at the time that he's chewing on it, it will convey Tumah Kala to the other foods in his mouth. The only question is, Kiti Bailach, the Nokit Le Biyodeh. He has it in his hand. Now why, this isn't, I'm just going to mention here, we're going to get to this mission in a second in Taros. The reason is that the underlying assumption is that Nevelat Uf Tahor is not Ra'ui La'Achila. People wouldn't otherwise eat the Nevelat Uf Tahor. People don't eat it. So since they don't eat it, it requires an active machshava, an active something to make it ra'ui la'achila. So if it's in your mouth and you're chewing it, certainly you intend to eat it now. If it's on the ground, we don't assume there's automatic intention for eating it. It doesn't automatically have a sense or a tumat ochlim because it's missing machshava. So the question here is now when it's in your hand on the way to your mouth. And that's where the question is going to kiti bailach, naki b'liyadeh. Mechusar kreva ke mechusar masadami. The fact that only thing standing between you having this in your mouth and it being, you know, on the ground is the fact that you have to just move your hand towards your mouth. It's in your hand already, and therefore you want to get it to your mouth. Is that considered mechusar maaseh or not? He says mechusar kreva lav ke mechusar maaseh dami. The fact that it's already in your hand, that's already far enough that it will convey to makala at this point in time, because your intent is to place it into your mouth. That intent to place it in your mouth is enough. So as opposed to by the yitziah of the parim nesafim the paraduma, where your mechusar yitziah is ke mechusar maaseh dami. Over here, the mechusar kreva is not classified as mechusar maaseh dami, because it just requires you to move your hand to your mouth. That's not considered mechusar maaseh. That's considered as if it's in the process of going to Tumah Chamura. That's your intent. That's what you're going to do. All you have to do is move your hand to your mouth. Therefore, it will convey Tumah Kala at this point in time. It's an HV. We're going to challenge that assumption. Shlosha asar dvarim nemru benivlat of tahor. It's the first Mishnah in Tarot. There are 13 things said about Nevelat of Tahor. We bumped into this mission earlier, because we're going to see in a second, when it comes to Malika and Shechita of an Oaf. Does Malika and Shechita of an Oaf mitaheret midei Nevela? If you find you do Malika or Shechita of an Oaf and it's a Trefa, we had a three-way machlokas between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Yossi, whether that is mitaher the Oaf from becoming a Nevela. That's the latter part of that Mishnah in the first Mishnah in Tarot. We are now dealing with the first half. We're going to get to that latter half again. But the first half part of the Mishnah says that these are the things. The things about the Nevelat of Tahor is, number one, it needs a machshava. That we just discussed now. That the Of Tahor is not automatically assumed to be an ochel. It only becomes an ochel when you have a machshava to eat it. That's number one. That's from Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Tana Debei Shmuel taught us that if it's in the end, sofo litamei tuma chamura, then it doesn't require hechsher. So Nevelat of Tahor, in order to be mitamei, does not need read Heksher. And it's mitame tumat ochlim bekebeitza with a kebeitza worth conveys tumat ochlim. That's tumat kala. My love, Rabbi Meir here. This is Rabbi Meir.
Here, this is the question.
The Eitave is on the Shita to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir before says that if something is mitame tumah chamura, that it also is automatically mitame tumah kala. Now, when we said that it's mitame tumah kala, we said we suspend rules of tumah in other places. How do we know that? Because by the Seir Mishtaleach, even though it's a Baal Chai, it's able to be mitame, it's able to convey tumah. So over here, what is the requirement of tum'ah to be mitameh? If you are talking about tum'ah kala, then you would require a kebeitza to convey tum'ah. Kebeitza is the tum'at ochlim. In order to convey tum'at ochlim, you need a kebeitza worth of the ochlim that are tmeim to convey tum'ah. On the other hand, if you're talking about tum'ah chamura, like the nevela to'of when you're boleya it, all you need is a kezayit of achila. So now let's think, in shitat Rabbi Meir, within Shitat Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir believes that if you're going to end up with Tumah Chamura, that means that the Tumah Kala beforehand is conveyed, plus you don't have any of the other requirements of Tumah that are associated with this item. Normally a Baal Chai would not convey Tumah, but over here it will, because in the end it will be Tumah Chamura. So here too, by the case of the Nevelat of Tahor, the Mishnah states, what is the amount of the item that conveys Tumah over here? It says a Kebeitza worth. Well, kebeitza is a rule with normal tumat ochlim. That's a rule that applies to all tumat ochlim. Anything that is tamei, if you have a kebeitza worth, it can be mitamei other ochlim. On the other hand, what's the tumah in vela ta'of? When you swallow it, how much do you have to swallow? Only a kezayit. So if Rabbi Meir is right that we suspend the normal rules of tumah, then over here it should also be mitamei ayudei kezayit. Why does the Mishnah require a kebeitza worth instead of a kezayit's worth? Rashi claims that the case here is Alma Benochili Yadei Askinan. He must be holding it in his hand. Because if it's on the ground, why does it need Hechsher? If it's on the ground, we said it doesn't automatically become an Nevelat Tov Tahor. And it's not so full of Tumah Chamura. So then it doesn't require, why does it not require Hechsher? Of course it requires Hechsher. If it's already in his mouth, then what do you need a Machshava for? Of course it's an Ochel. So Rashi says the case must be that he's holding it in his hand. Now, if the case in our Mishnah is a case of Nokit Lebiyadeh, and the Mishnah says that when he's Nokit Lebiyadeh, you still require a Kabeitza Ochlim, that means that the Mishnah does not view Ochel that is in his hand as something that will ultimately end up as being Tumah Chamura, and therefore conveys Tumah Kala. Because if it did, then it should only be a Kazayit here, like Rabbi Meir's Shita, that when we have a din of Tumah Chamura in the end, the Tumah Kala comes and suspends the normal dinim of Tumah, and therefore only you need a Kazayit here to convey the Tumah. The fact that the Mishnah says you require a kebeitza in order to convey tum'ah indicates that the Mishnah doesn't see that as automatically coming to the being tum'ah chamura. Now, we just saw that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, in answering the question of Rabbi Abba bar Mamel, said that when it's in your hand, it's not mechusar maseh, and it's as if it's going to end up as tum'ah chamura. If he was right, the Mishnah should say kezayit and not kebeitza. That's what Rashi learns the question. Tosafot, on the other hand, doesn't like the way Rashi figured out that it was Nokit Lebiyodei. But rather, Tosafot gives a different reason, which is that Tosafot believes that if it's lying on the ground, it could still be Sofo L'Tumah Chamura. But everybody agrees that if it's lying on the ground, it's got to be the size of a kebeitza to be classified as a Sofo L'Agia L'Tumah Chamura. The only question is, if you are somewhat closer than that, maybe we reduce the level of requirements for Tumah. And that's the question here. It was on the ground, and it was a kebeitza, so that'd be obvious. The Mishnah doesn't need to teach us a chiddush like that. It's only a question, if it's in his hand, then the Mishnah is telling us about a hand and still saying kebeitza. If it's still saying kebeitza, that goes against Rabbi Chir bar Abba's answer to Rabbi Abba bar Mamel, that it's as if not mechusar maseh, and it should be a kezayit. Now, right, we say, no, it's not Rabbi Meir's not the author of this Mishnah. The Rabbanon are the authors of this Mishnah. That will solve our problem, because they believe that the normal rules of Tumah apply. That's why by the Seir Mishleach, when it's Chai, it doesn't convey Tumah. Because normal rules of Tumah say, about Chai doesn't mitameh, doesn't give over Tumah. So Gemara says, how can you claim the Rabbanon are the authors of this Mishnah? You have the first half of the Mishnah that says that you don't require Hechsher. Who's the Tana that told us that you don't require Hechsher? That was Rabbi Meir, we saw before, who holds like Tana to be Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Masoret HaShatz both jump over here and say, wait a minute, the Rabbi Chaim HaChamim agreed to Tana to be Rabbi Shmuel's principles. They just didn't apply it to the Seir HaMishtaleach. So it's a Shas. You can see right here. Look, all he writes on the side is Tzorech Iyun Rav. Rabbi Akiva Eiger asks the question. He lays it out, and he says also, if you look in the Rabbi Akiva Eiger, he says Yesh La'ayin. How maskin in El? The Gam Rabbonim Sfir like a Dami Debari Rabbi Shmuel. Balchai. Exactly. So both of them leave it as a Tzorech Iyun Rav. They have no idea why the Gemara concludes here that this has to be Rabbi Meir. The Chamim hold in the exact same position, as long as it's not a Balchai, as long as it's something that could be Mikabel Tumah. Now, the Gemara will continue and says, okay, so Rabbi Meir, umidereish Rabbi Meir, seifa nami Rabbi Meir. So if the ratio of Hechsher is following Rabbi Meir's Shita, then obviously the seifa, talking about Tumat Ochlim, also follows the Shita of Rabbi Meir. So Meir says, midiriya, hadagita, vadagita. No, yeah, you're right. The beginning is Rabbi Meir is there, and this will be the Chachamim. Vahamiktani seifa, this is the seifa that we saw earlier on in the Masechta and Samach Tet. Rabbi Meir believes he is Doresh a Kal V'Chomer and then a Mei Matzino. Kal V'Chomer and Mei Matzino to teach us that the Shechita V'Nof and the Mlikah V'Of are Metaheret Shreifatah Mitei Tumata. Manch Ma'ilei Hai Svara. Who gives us that Svara? Rabbi Meir. So Reisha Misefa Rabbi Meir. Now you're going to have up a Mishnah where the Hechsher is referenced by Rabbi Meir. Seifa is Rabbi Meir because it's talking about the Hechsher Ayudei the Malika. Yehuda says Shechita and Malika don't work whatsoever. It's always in the Vela. Rabbi Yossi has a Shechita Beinayim that Shechita helps, but that Malika does not help. So if this says that both help, that's a Shechita of Rabbi Meir. So now you have Hechsher, which is Shechita of Rabbi Meir. You have Shechita and Malika, which is Shechita of Rabbi Meir. And you have this Tuma, but Tuma conveyed only Ayidei Kabeitza. That's the Shechita of the Rabbonon. So you have Rabbi Meir, Rabbonon, Rabbi Meir. Man, so the Gemara says, that's what going to happen. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, Mitziyata Rabbonon. Gemara says, yeah. Yes, in Ochanami, Reisha V'Seifa is Rabbi Meir, Mitziyata Rabbonon. I will point out here one thing that Rashi, the Shitato and Shas, says over here. If you look in Tzricha Machshava, this Rashi says, less than a kazayit of this will be mitzayit to another kabeitza of Ochlim, the kabel tumat Ochlim b'maga. I explained that the kabeitza was to convey tumah. And that is the shita of all the Rishonim throughout Shas, that in order to convey tumat Ochlim, you need a kabeitza. To receive tumat Ochlim, b'koshu, any amount. Rashi, throughout Shas, has this unusual opinion in many places. Some places he actually sotar himself. But many places he says, even for tumat Ochlim to be nitkabel, you need a kabeitza. And that's Rashi here, consistent with the shita, which says over here, that you need the kabeitza in order to receive tumat Ochlim, not to convey tumat Ochlim. So now the Gemara says, Amrale Rav Hamnuna the Rabbi Zera, Lo titi vankarech, don't sit down, ad amartli hamilta, until you explain to me this issue. Nevelat of tahor, li Rabbi Meir. The Nevelat of tahor, according to Rabbi Meir, which is conveying tumah kalah, right, even before, that it conveys tumah kalah, even before it's conveying tumah chamura, monim la rishon v'sheni, o ein monim la roshi v'sheni. Does it give off tumah? What is the level of tumah that it conveys? I already told you the answer to this because I said to you that when you swallow it, it conveys tumah chamura. When you are beforehand, it's only conveying tumah kala. The difference between tumah chamura and tumah kala is that a tumah chamura is something that's an avatumah that can be metame adam v'kelim. Tumah kala is something that's a rishon tumah that can only convey tumah to ochlim and mashkim, cannot be conveyed to kelim. His question is, this tumah kala beforehand, what type of tumah is it? Monim rishon v'sheni. Monim rishon v'sheni is implication is that it's an avatumah. An avatumah can make something into a rishon and then into a sheni. Obviously, it's not literally an avatumah, but does it act like an avatumah? Does this tumah kala convey to the next item rishon l'tumah? If it conveys rishon l'tumah, then a rishon can make a sheni l'tumah. If it itself is a rishon l'tumah, and then it conveys a sheni l'tumah, in chulin, sheni l'tumah is the last level. So it only convey tumah to one item, and that'll be it. So that's the question here. Does this item have the power to convey like an ava tumah and start a process of rishon and sheni? Or is this item like a regular ochel tameh? There's a rishon l'tumah, can only convey to a sheni l'tumah. So that's the question. Monim la rishon sheni, o ein monim roshim sheni, or don't. If you don't, monim roshim sheni means that it's already a rishon l'tumah, and therefore it cannot cause a rishon to come about. So I'm right. Kolhecha demetame adam bimaga monim bo rishon sheni. Anytime an item can be metame an adam by through contact, then you have Rishon V'Sheni. Kohecha de'ein metame adam b'maga. If it does not give off tumah to an adam b'maga in contact, ein monim bo Rishon V'Sheni. So over here, we know that the Nevelah of Tahor does not convey tumah through maga. It does not convey tumah to an adam through touching it. If he comes into contact, you pick it up. There is no tumah conveyed to the adam. So therefore, there is no rishon and sheni. And the tumah that it gives over is only a tumah kala. The Tanya, this brighter that we have in Taharot, you have uchlim that are connected through liquids. Chibur the tumah kala, vein chibur the tumah chamura. It says there in the brayta that if you have, for instance here, you have two half zeitim of nevelot. Nevela is something that is an avatumah. It conveys tumah to Adam. Person who touches a nevela becomes tameh. It conveys tumah through masa. So therefore, it's tumah chamura. But you have a chatzik zayit on one side, a chakazayit on the other side. So they're not connected. So if a person touches the chatzik zayit, it will not convey tumah because there's not enough there to be classified as a nevela. So what happened now? But they were joined by a liquid. These two chatzik zeitim are joined by a liquid. Well, since they're joined by a liquid, do they become a single entity now? So the right tarot says that is only true for mashkim ar chibur the tumah kala, vein chibur the tumah chamura. They only are work or enough to allow tumah to be conveyed to ochlim and mashkim, but they do not make a chibur, they do not make a connection to these chatzik zeitim to convey tumah to an adam. So he says again, monim bo rishon v'sheni, or in monim bo rishon v'sheni. The tumah that's given over, do you have rishon and sheni or not? So I'm like, kohechi de metamei adam, monim bo rishon v'sheni. If it can be metamei adam, then there's rishon and sheni. Ain't metamei adam. If it doesn't metamei adam, then ain't monim bo rishon v'sheni. So also over here. Over there, the chibur works only to convey tumah at the level of tumah kala. So therefore, there's no rishon and sheni. Whereas it is a chibur, not a chibur, for conveying it as a level of an avatumah. Since it's not on the level of avatumah, it cannot be mitamei adam, and it won't be counting rishon and sheni. It will only be on the level of a rishon. It will only be classified as a rishon litumah when it conveys tumah kala here. Why is there a difference between the chibur aldea liquid for tumah kala versus tumah chamura? Rashi says, over here explains, betama lo yadana. I have no idea why this is true. So he quotes right from Tarot, and he says, I don't know why it works in the Mishnah Tarot. Tosfos over here questions Rashi's explanation of the Gemara here about what the chibur is. He says, maybe we have to explain a case, and this is what Tosfos thinks in the end. It's not a liquid, but where the item itself dissolved or disintegrated into a liquid. Where the item itself, the meat, rotted to the point. It went to a point where it's still nevela, but it let off some liquid. And that liquid joins with the other nevela, and that's why there's a chibur over here. Because if it's an independent liquid, Tosfos says that that mashkim mechaber ochlim the kabel tumah the tamei acherim, that doesn't work. And a third liquid that comes in here, it doesn't work, because even if they're on a skin together, if you have a chatzik zayit here and a chatzik zayit there on a ore, they're not mitzdareif to make it into a tumah chamura, to make it into a single kazayit. So why should liquids be mechaber there? Tosfos over here says that it's a case where it has a liquid oozing out of it, nimochu, and therefore the joining of them is done by they themselves. It's not a third object that's coming in to be mechaber them. It's they themselves that are causing the chibur through a liquid between them. And that's why over here we classify as a liquid, as a chibur. But again, the chibur is only good enough for tumah kala, not good enough for tumah chamura. So Tara Banan, by the par, it says it has to be taken outside of the three machanot in order to convey tumah. Kan, by Yom Kippurim, it only mentions one machanem, mechutz lemachanem, is machane achat. Lo malachah, so what does that teach you? So we have a hekesh between them. We have a hekesh between Parlam Dabashot Tzibor and the partial Yom Kippurim. So why in one place is it telling us three machanot, and one place is telling us machane achat? Kevin Shiyatza chutz lemachane achat, mitame bigadim, vihi gufa minolon. How do you know that itself? The Tara Banan. But see it, kol ha-paro mechutz lemachaneh. The parak of Mashiach, it says, let's see it, kol ha-paro mechutz lemachaneh. Chutz, the gimel machanot. It has to be taken out of all three machanot. Adam, erchutz, the gimel machanot, doin ola menachaneh achat. How do you know it's meaning all three machanot? Maybe it only means out of one machaneh. Shumar, but parak Ida, when it says by the parak of Dabar Shibur, mechutz lemachaneh. Shein tzarech lemar. Why is it telling us by there, mechutz lemachaneh? Shrekvar ne'amar, it already says there, kashir sarafet ha-paro rishon. It says, by the parak of Dabar Shibur, you should do to it exactly like you did to the Parkoin Mashiach. Well, the Parkoin Mashiach, it says take it out of the Machaneh. So why do I need another take it out of the Machaneh by the Par Ha'olam Dabar Shel Tzibor? Litein lo Machaneh Shniyah. That's until another one. Shomer Michutz lo Machaneh Badeshin. When it comes to Otzat HaDeshin, it also says Michutz lo Machaneh. Shein Zarech Lamar. Shekvarin Amar. Al Shefech HaDeshin Yisareif. Brought out to the place where the Shefech HaDeshin is. Litein lo Machaneh Shlishit. Mean that the Parim Nesrafim are the same place as where the Shefech HaDeshin is. Well, so why do you have to tell me that the Shefech HaDeshin, that's Michutz michutz l'machaneh. Of course it's michutz l'machaneh. It's in the same place that the parim are nisrafim. We know the parim nisrafim already are out the machaneh. So now I have one michutz l'machaneh, which is necessary. I have two that are unnecessary. That gives me three times michutz l'machaneh. So now you have three machanot that it has to go outside of. So that's higuf minolan. How we know by the parim davishel tzibor that you need to go out of chutz l'tshos machanot? That's from this limud that we have by the parkway in Mashiach and the parim davishel tzibor that has to go out. They're extraneous chutz l'machaneh. Therefore I have outside of the three machanot. Then I have by parim yom kippurim, it says chutz l'machaneh achat. So now I have three in one. What do I do? It means that out of three is where it needs to go. Out of one is where it conveys tuma. And we know that there's a hekesh between parim yom kippurim and the parim davishel tzibor. So now Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, how the mechutz l'machaneh ma'obile? Rabbi Shimon, what does he do with this mechutz l'machaneh? Because Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah disagrees. Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Eino mitamim shu'tzato or beruban. Rabbi Shimon says that the parim and nisrafim only convey tumah once you start to light them. Once the fire is caught to roba, then that's when they're mitamei. Until that point in time, there's nothing to talk about. There is no tumah. So then what does he do with the mechutz l'machaneh? Mibai levi tani Rabbi Eliezer. Omer, Nermar kan, chutz l'machaneh, v'nermar l'halan, michutz l'machaneh. It says over here, by Yom HaKippurim, chutz l'machaneh, which is the one that he doesn't need. And it says, Nermar l'halan, chutz l'machaneh, by Parah Aduma. Ma l'halan, chutz l'gimel machanot, just like by the Par Yom HaKippurim, has to be outside of the chutz l'shosh machanot, so too by the Parah Aduma, has to be outside of the shosh machanot. Ma l'halan, chutz l'gimel, chutz l'machaneh, ma l'halan, mizrach shel Yerushalayim. By the Parah Aduma, it says it's be done on the eastern side of you. Because it says Vizal Nochach Pnei Ol Moed, and the Ol Moed is found on the western side, right? We face the west. So if you're going to be on the mountain opposite the Ol Moed, you're going to be on east of Yerushalayim. So that's by the Parah Aduma. So too by the Shefach HaDeshen needs to be on the eastern side of Yerushalayim. Avkan the Mizracha Shel Yerushalayim Ela LeRabbanon Heche Sarif Lehu. So according to Rabbanon, where do they burn it? Because they don't have this limud of the eastern side. Kedetanya Heicha Nisrafim LeTzafon Yerushalayim and the Chachamim. They do it on the northern side of Yerushalayim. Chutz l'shlosh machanot. As Rashi explains, the reason here is because kol ma'aseh chatat b'tzafon. Anything we do with the chatat, we favor doing it in the north. Just like in the Mikdash, we shech the chatat on the northern side, and we do all the avodot chatat on the northern side. So too, when it comes to chataot that are taken outside of the Mikdash, we're going to favor the north. We're going to go to the northern side, just like we do in the Mikdash. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Beit HaDeshen Nisrafim, that they're burnt where the Beit HaDeshen is. A Beit HaDeshen means that there has to be Deshen there already. The Makom Shefach HaDeshen is a place where they have to be burnt. Amar Rava, Man Tana de Paligalei de Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Who's the Tana that argues on Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The Tanya, Shefach HaDeshen Yisrafim, Shehe Sham Deshen. That will be the position of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Shehe Mikomo Mishupach. Not that it has to be Deshen there, but it has to be a place that is an incline. Place that things that will roll off of it. Who says that they're arguing about the deshen aspect of it? Maybe they're just arguing about the aspect of mishupach. Where Abaye says, how do you know that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is really the one that argues on Rabbi Elazar Glili? Maybe they're arguing about the incline-decline aspect of it, not about the deshen aspect of it. There we leave it. Now we have a ton of Rabbanan, a sereif, mitamei beganim. Whoever works with the parim nisrafim is doing the sereifa, becomes tamei. The law made sita tor, but not the one who actually kindles the fire. The one who sets up the pyre, he's also not mitamei begadim. Bezu a sereif. Who's the one? What's a sereif? If he's not kindling the fire, he's not setting up the pyre. What is he? Then he's the one amaseiyev b'shat sreifa, the one who's stoking it and making sure that it's burning there. Yachol b'shemnasu efer. Once it becomes ashes, mitamei begadim. Tamalomar otam. Otam mikibedem begadim. When they are still parim nisrafim, then they are mitamei begadim. But once they reach the point where they're ashes, they're no longer mitamei begadim. Shnasu efer im mitamei begadim. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Is it otam mitamim begadim? That they are mitamim begadim. Nitach habasar im mitamim begadim. Once the basar begins to dissolve and it's being consumed by the fire, then im mitamim begadim. Might be nayu. What's the difference between them? Amarava, you can be nayu with the shavya charucha. That he made it into a charucha. So that is nitach habasar, but it's not yet ashes. It's something that already is reached the point where it's nitacha basar. The basar is no longer basar, but it hasn't reached the point where it's ashes. So at that point, Rabbi Shimon will say, the mitzvah is over, and you will not be tamei. On the other hand, the Tanakama, the Chachamim, will believe that at that point it still be mitamei, because it hasn't yet reached the point of afer, and therefore it's still considered to be otam, that you're asuk by the parim and the sefim and the srim and the sefim. Okay, we'll stop over here.